say that this time is sacred. We just want to receive from your word. So we pray that you would speak to all of us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing on in our vision series. We're talking through the vision of our church. The vision's up here on this banner. Can we just read that out loud together? This is the vision of our church. We want to see passionate pursuit of God and massive salvations in our church, our city, and our world. And up on the screen is our four core values. If you could help me get to the next screen. Okay. So these are four core values. We're in this month of April. We're preaching through life transforming, God first every day. That's our third core value. So would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. That's the passage that we're going to be on today. The title of today's message is very appropriately life transformation. All right. So we do encourage you to bring your Bibles and have your Bibles open so you can see the passage in context, take notes, highlight, etc. If you're visiting with us today, that passage is going to be up on the screens, though we do encourage our regular attenders to bring their Bibles every week. So we're talking about life transformation. And I wanted to make the point first to say, we're talking about spiritual, godly, biblical life transformation, but even physical transformation goes a long way, right? One of my mentors in college, he taught me that, and he's a successful leader, he taught me that even when you're doing a phone interview, you're talking on the phone, get all changed, stand up, and that just changed your mindset. So even a physical transformation goes a long way. I wanted to show you also as a point of illustration about even physical transformation going a long way. A video that went viral, I believe, a couple of years ago. I think it was like 23 million views. It's a homeless man who went through physical transformation, and this went a long way for himself, but also it brought, obviously, with 23 million views, lots of impact to other people, encouragement to other people, and encouragement to be transformed, even for many others who viewed this video. So take a look at this video. We're talking about just even physical transformation having great impact. How much more godly, spiritual, biblical transformation? Take a look at this video of physical transformation. Let's watch it. Not this one, the other video. We'll see that one later. this is an example of physical transformation having this kind of impact. How much more spiritual transformation? So the question that we're answering this morning is, how can we experience godly life transformation? Let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, to find out what Paul says, ultimately what God says. So would you read it out loud together? It's up here in the NIV translation. So go ahead, Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we start off with the first verse, verse 1, and it says that we are to be a living sacrifice. If we experience life transformation as Christians, we will offer ourselves as living sacrifices. So in the Old Testament, they would slaughter the animals, burn the animals on the altar. That would be the worship to God. In the New Testament, Paul's saying, we are the living sacrifice, so we get on the altar, we get slaughtered, we get burnt as an offering to God. I wanted to say that in and of itself, is probably not a pleasing image, right? That we have to get up on the altar and be the living sacrifice. But it is when we see this very important clause in verse 1. It says, in view of God's mercy. The cross, Jesus going to the cross, paying for our sins, taking on all of the sins of us and all mankind for all time, was the greatest act of mercy. And as we look at the cross and we keep the cross in view, and the mercy of God fills us, then we would be able to, out of the overflow of that, or out of the overflow of God's love and his mercy, we would begin to receive the anointing and the motivation, etc., to get on top of the altar, to be the living sacrifice, to even be slaughtered, burnt out, if you'll let me put it that way, as our offering to God. Let me put it like this for point number one. How can we experience godly life transformation? Point number one, keep the cross in view as we offer ourselves for his use. I felt like God gave me an image as I was studying this passage, that it's like taking a picture, a camera, where you want to take a picture of a subject, and there's a cross in the viewfinder. In order to take the picture of the subject effectively, you need to keep the cross in view. I think this is a good word for some of us this morning, because some of us this morning, in living out our Christian lives, or serving God in the ministry, or evangelizing the people, pressing forward in our Christian life, we might feel like that we're being slaughtered, burnt out. Maybe the cross is not in view. Maybe some other things are in view. But this morning, God wants to lead us to the cross. We sing that song, lead us to the cross, where your love poured out. That as we are led back to the cross and bring the cross back into view, that's where we find the mercy of God being poured out into our lives. And out of the mercy of God being poured out into our lives with his love, with his compassion, that's how we will be able to offer ourselves as the living sacrifice. So certainly in this passage, Paul was saying that spiritual life transformation includes us becoming the living sacrifice. But he goes on to tell us something else about what life transformation looks like. And Paul says this in the second portion of verse 2. Can you just read that out loud together again? Then, so Paul was saying that spiritual life transformation would also include us tuning in to God's will. And that's important for lots of us this morning. Lots of us this morning are making some decisions in our lives. We need to hear God's will. And so God's will is important. And as Christians, we hear that a lot, right? First grade Sunday school, God has a purpose for our lives. God has a wonderful plan for our lives. God has a will for us. But it's really important for me to point out this morning that there is another will that is trying to get imposed upon our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, it says this. Can we get to the previous slide? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. You could just turn there in your Bibles, and I'll read that to us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26. Paul was speaking in 2 Timothy. Paul was speaking in Romans, the main passage that we're reading today. He's also speaking here in the book of 2 Timothy, and he's speaking to a young church leader, and he's teaching him about the will of God and also this other will that's trying to be imposed upon our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, and it says this, "And that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will." Listen, it's really important to note, God has a will for our lives. There is another will, the will of the enemy, that's trying to get imposed upon our lives. This passage is saying that the enemy is trying to trap us and trying to take us captive to do his will. Listen, this morning, when there's these competing wills in our lives, we want life transformation. We want to be transformed as Christians. We would ask the question, well, how can I get God's will into my life and not the devil's will into my life? If the devil is out there and he's actually trying to trap me, he's trying to take me captive to do his will, how can I tune myself into God's will? And this is the first part of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let me just read that again for us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the first portion. It says this, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So the way that we would be able to tune into God's will is that we would begin to renew our minds. And that's not a word that we often use in our everyday language. So the question is, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to renew our minds? And so I wanted to show us the Message translation of this first portion of verse 2. And it says this. This is the Message translation. I'll go ahead and read it out loud together. When it comes to fixing our attention on God, it means that we need to stop our attention from other things. We stop our attention from the world. Instead, we fix our attention on God. And in doing that, we begin to tune into God's will. I want to show us a quick illustration, just a couple minutes of a video, about how important it is for us to fix our attention, what that looks like to fix our attention. So take a look at this video as an illustration of fixing our attention. Why is it so important? Let's take a look.
Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball.
Can you just pray with me this morning right now? Because I have gone through a really crazy morning, and I think this is included into it. And I told you guys before, when these things happen, I know that the Lord wants to do great things. I guess it's kind of like there's a will of the enemy and there's a will of God. We just need to press in, and I believe that the Lord will speak to us. Can you just join my heart and let's pray? In Jesus' name, let the enemy's distractions be gone in the name of Jesus. We are fixing our attention on Jesus Christ. I just lift up the name of Jesus right now, and I just declare, Jesus, you are here with us. And I pray that your speaking and your ministry will go forth into every single person's heart. Release your words, release your inspiration, and release your encouragement to each person, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have that video working? Let's give it a try.
Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball. The correct answer is 16 passes. Did you spot the gorilla? For people who haven't seen or heard about a video like this before, about half miss the gorilla. If you knew about the gorilla, you probably saw it. But did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game? Let's rewind and watch it again. Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold. When you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events.
Isn't it amazing?
And that's the monkey business illusion.
It's amazing that we could be so fixed our attention on something about counting the passes, and we miss a gorilla that's walking across center stage. I wanted to make the point this morning that we could get so fixed on the things of this world that the will of God is right in front of our eyes and we can't see it. This morning, this point is really near and dear to my heart, or let me just put the point up here first on the screen. Fix our attention on godly things, not worldly things, so we can tune into God's will. It's so near and dear to me because sometimes as a pastor in this church, sometimes I get called upon to maybe input or help some other church situations in other churches. Sometimes a church situation is like, it gets to be really bad, you know, because the person, there's situations where they're in the world and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and so maybe a so-called innocent glance would turn into a not-so-innocent flirtation, which turns into a full-blown affair, or a seemingly or so-called innocent just cutting the corners would turn into a one-time cheating over time, and it leads to criminal tax evasion. And when these things happen, the feeling is if those things were just brought up 1 year ago, and let the church be the church, where there's confession, the Bible tells us to confess our sins to one another, we may be healed. The Bible tells us to pray for one another. The Bible tells us to carry each other's burdens. Or I think even 6 months ago, or even 1 month ago. And so, you know, no one is outside of the restoration and the love of God. But I just want to bring an encouragement this morning. If there's, you know, some pull of the world on you, or you might be here and it's so deep into sin or into the world, listen, you're not beyond God's reach. And I would encourage you, let the church be the church. You know, talk to a trusted brother or sister in Christ. Bring confession. Let there be prayer together. Let there be the restoring gently, as Paul mentions in another passage. Let that be the case for us. So this morning, I just want to make that statement to us. When Paul was saying, hey, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, that some of us might feel like we're led there. And let the church be the church. Let God do his work to bring this restoration so that we could tune into God's will. But you also might be here this morning and saying that, you know, I live in this world, and so there's some worldly inputs, but it's not that bad. You know, we might do it in the name of, you know, staying culturally relevant, or we might be in the world and say, well, it doesn't affect me. I know it could affect other people if they watch those movies or listen to music, but it doesn't really affect me. And that might be the case. That might be the case for you. But I just want to point out what verse 2 is saying. Verse 2 is saying, listen, stop the worldly inputs. Fix your attention on God so that you can hear God's will. Some of us this morning really need to hear God's will. Some of you this week, you need to make some really key decisions. Some of you this week need to take some really key steps in your life. Some of you, it's really on your heart, even this morning you come to church, where you need to hear God. You need to hear the right way. This passage is saying, Paul was saying, listen, the way to hear the will of God is not to conform to the patterns of this world. The image that I was getting is like the old-fashioned radios. I think now it's digitized, so it's a little bit different. But, you know, in the old days, you gotta adjust the frequency, you know, right to the right spot, or else it's all staticky and you're not going to be able to hear it. Maybe this morning there needs to be some fine-tuning in our lives. And we would say, I'm not so far off. I'm not so worldly. I'm not so into the world. But we would fine-tune in our lives, start tuning out a little bit more to the things of this world, start turning off some other inputs into our lives, fixing our attention on God so that we will be able to hear the will of God, or even as this passage talks about, the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. Listen, let's not listen to the will of the devil. Paul was telling Timothy, listen, there is the will of the devil, and he is there to trap us and to take us captive. We say no to that. We say yes to the will of God. And the way that we would receive and move into that kind of transformation as we begin to turn off some more worldly inputs, turn on some more godly inputs, turn into the frequency of God so that we could hear his will, so that we could clearly hear it, so that we could act upon it and live it out and actually be the living sacrifice that verse 1 talks about. It's all in view of God's mercy. We got to get the cross into our view. For some of us, we got other stuff in our view. It's clouded by a lot of other stuff. And we got other things that are on our agenda, in our vision, things that are on the top of our minds, but we got to get the cross in view. We need to, some of us this morning, sing that closing song that we're going to sing. Lead me to the cross where your love is poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. And as we're led to the cross and we bring the cross into view and his mercy starts getting poured out into our lives, that's the way that we're going to become the living sacrifice. That's the way we're going to begin to tune into God and begin to hear his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's go to the Lord and respond in prayer. Let's pray. Can I invite the worship team? Can you come forward? Prayer team, if you can come forward at this time too. There's three specific things I want to lead us into prayer for. Please make this a private moment. Keep your eyes closed, heads bowed, because I'm going to ask some personal things. Some people will respond, and I just want to help make this a private moment for them. Some of us, we would acknowledge that the world has its grip on us, and we need help out of that. Listen, I mentioned those other church situations where it's like one thing leads to the next thing, where it just becomes so entangled. We need God. All eyes closed and heads bowed, please make this a private moment. If you're here, you find that you're entangled in the world and you need God to help you out, lift your hand all the way up and then down. That's just you saying to God, God, help me. Please help me. Please rescue me. All the way up and then down. You're just communicating with God. Thank you for your honesty. God sees your heart. I'm going to quote to you another passage of scripture. It says, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I want to pray for you right now. But I do urge you, if you really feel like you're stuck, talk to a trusted brother or sister in Christ today. Don't wait for tomorrow, because I'm telling you the stories that I've been a part with, that it just goes to the next day, the next day, the next day, the next thing you know, it's a year later, and families are devastated and ministries are devastated. Listen, it gets really ugly. I want to encourage you today, just talk to a trusted brother or sister. Tell them, listen, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me to rescue me from the things of this world. Father, I just pray for those hands that were raised. I just do pray a corporate prayer that you would rescue us from the things of this world, fix our attention on God, lead us to the cross in Jesus' name. I also want to pray for you in response to this passage. Some of us do need to hear the will of God more clearly. You have some decisions coming up, maybe even today, maybe even this week. I just want to pray that the good, pleasing, perfect will of God will be released into your life in these decisions. Can you raise your hand all the way up and then down? You're saying, God, I need to hear your good, pleasing, perfect will. Put your hand all the way up and then down. That's just you communicating with God. Father, you see our hands. You see our desperation. We need to hear the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God be released into our lives. Help us make these decisions. We say no to the will of the devil. We say no to the traps. We say no to the devil taking us captive by his will. In Jesus' name, we want the will of God. We ask you, God, show us your will, the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. Last thing, some of us might feel like recently that we're the living sacrifice on the altar being slaughtered, being burnt out, and it hasn't been in view of God's mercy. The cross hasn't been in the view. This morning, I just want to say, let's put the cross in view and let the mercy and love of God flow into our lives. If this morning or recently you've been feeling like you're slaughtered, burnt out as you're living out your life for God, put your hand all the way up and then down. I just want to say, let's put the cross in our view. Let the mercy of God come down upon us today. Jesus, I just pray that song, the words of the song, lead us to the cross where your love is poured out. Bring us to our knees. Lord, we lay ourselves down. Fill us with your love. And we just bring the cross into view, the mercy of God. It was good 2,000 years ago, and it is good today. On April 10th, 2016, we need the mercy of God flowing into our lives that we would become the living sacrifice for you. There is no other way. God, there is no other way. It is in view of God's mercy. We bring the cross into view in Jesus' name.